Okay, give me a second here. Let's see if this one will work. As we're getting this set up, you can open your Bibles to Judges chapter 17. And it's wonderful to have you with us this morning. Okay, Judges chapter 17. Please stand as we read the word of the Lord together. Judges 17. Now there was a man of the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Micah. And he said to his mother, "The 1,100 pieces of silver which were taken from you, about which you uttered a curse in my hearing, behold, the silver is with me. I took it." And his mother said, "Blessed be my son by the Lord." He then returned the 1,100 pieces of silver to his mother, and his mother said, "I wholly dedicate the silver from my hand to the Lord for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now therefore I will return them to you." So when he returned the silver to his mother took 200 pieces of silver and gave them to a silversmith who made them into a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had a shrine, and he made an ephod and household idols, and consecrated one of his sons, that he might become his priest. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. Now there was a young man from Bethlehem in Judah of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he was staying there. Then the man departed from the city, from Bethlehem in Judah, to stay wherever he might find a place. And as he made his journey, he came to the hill country of Ephraim, to the house of Micah. And Micah said to him, "Where do you come from?" And he said to him, "I am a Levite from Bethlehem in Judah, and I'm going to stay wherever I may find a place." Micah then said to him, "Dwell with me and be a father and a priest to me, and I will give you 10 pieces of silver a year, a suit of clothes, and your maintenance." So the Levite went in, and the Levite agreed to live with the man, and the young man became to him like one of his sons. So Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest, and lived in the house of Micah. Then Micah said, "Now I know that the Lord will prosper me, seeing I have a Levite as priest." Thus reads God's word, and you may be seated. Judges 17:6. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. In our reading this morning, there is this statement made which so details our current social norm. Everyone is doing what is right in his or her own eyes. The disintegration of our social conscience is so massively hurtling unto utter disorder and anarchy. We are faced with disgusting and rampant displays of what is deemed proper and right for the individual. This is at the expense of a clearly defined right and wrong which protects the whole. Personal wants and cravings and lusts have utterly and foolishly cast aside those guidelines which ensure stability and the generally accepted proper treatment of mankind. Today, we are people who want instant gratification at all costs, including a decent respect for laboring and waiting for the satisfaction in the rewards of earned and valued hard work. Rather, We live in a social climate of entitlement, the entitlement of wants, rather than in one that values the hard and tedious laboring for that which is needed. We are a throwaway society with no regard for human life or virtue or respect of others and their rights or property in any measure. This especially rejects the high and ultimate standard that God has set for us as the beacon of what should be our utmost desire and goal for the manner of living our lives. To consider the lifelong race under the fullness of the knowledge of Jesus Christ as detailed by the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3, 7 through 16, is anathema to the sensitivities and the self-centered motivations of this age. Our society is now characterized by rampant abortion and homosexuality and crossing over, which all manifest selfishness beyond all previous scales of consideration. Spiritually speaking, there is no willingness or desire to put in the hard work that is necessary to seek after the things of God. This is especially the case in terms of having to labor through long and copious year after year exertion to learn patience and kindness and humility and thankfulness unto the Lord for the way in which He meets our needs, not our wants or our lusts. Philippians 3, 7 through 16. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude, and if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Rather than this dedication and consecration and determination to know the Lord with all our hearts and all our minds and all our souls, there is a wanton disregard of anything other than what meets my cravings and my desires after passion and the filthy lucre of this age right now, this instant. This brings us back to that which has always been the heart of defiled and lawless humanity. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. Moses had to deal with this selfish heart of the children of Israel, as detailed in the first 13 verses of Deuteronomy chapter 12. He was giving instructions as to what was necessary for the people to hold on to their abiding relationship with the Lord God Almighty, Jehovah, Yahweh. He urged them to obey Jehovah and His wonderful statutes and ordinances, which would serve to protect them and keep them from the defiled ensnarements of this realm. Deuteronomy 12, 1 through 13. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall carefully observe in the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you to possess as long as you live on the earth. You shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations whom you shall dispossess serve their gods, on the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree. And you shall tear down their altars and smash their sacred pillars and burn their asherim with fire. And you shall cut down the graven images of their gods. And you shall obliterate their name from that place. You shall not act like this toward the Lord your God, but you shall seek the Lord at the place which the Lord your God shall choose from all your tribes to establish His name there for His dwelling, and there you shall come. And there you shall bring your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the contribution of your hand, your votive offerings, your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herd and of your flock. There also you and your household shall eat before the Lord your God, and rejoice in all your undertakings in which the Lord your God has blessed you. You shall not do at all what we are doing here today, every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. For you have not as yet come to the resting place and the inheritance which the Lord your God has given you. When you cross the Jordan and live in the land which the Lord your God has given you to inherit, and He gives you rest from all your enemies around you so that you live in security, then it shall come about that the place in which the Lord your God shall choose for His name to dwell, there you shall bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithe and the contribution of your hand, and all your choice votive offerings which you will vow to the Lord. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, and the Levite who is within your gates, since he has no portion or inheritance with you. Again, the key pronouncement which needs our utmost obeisance: you shall not do at all what we are doing here today, every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. For you have not as yet come to the resting place and the inheritance which the Lord your God is giving you. There is an aspect inherent in this command which we would greatly be blessed to take to heart. There is no resting place or inheritance of peace and well-being when we are doing whatever is right in our own eyes. As much as we may think that we are getting what we want, when we want it, how we want it, we will never find that peace and joy and God displayed in our right standing before Him in Jesus Christ as we do what we want rather than what He wants. We will be miserable. We will be stuck in that utter sense of lack and loss, at not having sufficient means to satisfy that endless yearning and craving after something better and bigger and grander in our lives. There will be no settledness in the beauty of the Lord when our eyes set on the dangling and alluring trivial trinkets of this age dictate what our hearts want. As so set forth before us by the psalmist in Psalm 12, 1 through 4, we are surrounded by those who are corrupt, earnestly seeking to destroy any testimony of holiness and purity and righteousness in this age. There is that wanton sense of having to drag others into the miry pit in which we find ourselves. As the futility of our wallowing in the quicksand of this realm's lies and deceits engulf us, we want to have others suffer the same so that we are not alone in our desperate misery and panic. Psalm 12, 1 through 4. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases to be, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak falsehood to one another, with flattering lips and with a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that speaks great things, who have said with our tongue, we will prove our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? This is further delineated by the writer of the prophets throughout the course of this urgent observation. We would be wise to consider some of them at this point. We will start with Proverbs 12, 15 through 23. Here, the comparison between the fool and the wise is set in the fact that the fool thinks that he is okay. He thinks that he can rule his own lusts and that he can make his own way in this realm. The heart of the fool is one which declares that I am all right in my sin and there is no shame because this is the correct course of action to take in my own eyes, no matter what the Lord has declared in His Word. Proverbs 12, 15 through 23. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. A fool's vexation is known at once, but a prudent man conceals dishonor. He who speaks truth tells what is right, but a false witness deceit. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise dealing. Truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. No harm befalls the righteous, but the wicked are filled with trouble. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are His delight. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims folly. Proverbs 14:12 details exactly what man receives when he goes against the way of the Lord. This is in choosing that which seems right to appease himself rather than to obey the Lord. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. The Lord also sets before us the whole crux of the matter in Proverbs 16, 1 and 2. Herein is the fact that what man wants is ruled by that motivation after self-interest and self-approval and self-centeredness. What is shown of the heart of humanity is the fact that there is nothing of concern other than what will elevate the creation over the Creator. This is what has been in the heart of humanity since the fall in the garden. Man is deceived by his own heart into this futile planning after that which has no chance of success in the whole spectrum of eternity. Everything that man does to justify the course of his walk will undergo the intense and omniscient scrutiny of the Lord. Proverbs 16, 1 and 2. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. This manifest divine scrutiny is also highlighted in Ecclesiastes 11, 9 and 10. Ecclesiastes 11, 9 and 10. Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood, and follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things. Next, please turn to the words of the Lord given by the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 44, 1 through 17. Jeremiah details how the Lord brought forth the truth of the difference that following the proper commandments and the honoring of the holiness of God will bring. This is in complete opposition to the defiled and the deceitful ways and actions and motivations of men apart from God. And yet, despite the virtuous and righteous declarations of God, the people still chose to close their hearts and their minds. They rather desired to deliberately and defiantly seek after those ways which they knew were wrong and were filled with extreme misery and abject failure and emptiness and utter destruction. Jeremiah 44, 1 through 17. The word that came to Jeremiah for all the Jews living in the land of Egypt, those who were living in Migdol, Tamphanes, Memphis, and the land of Pathros, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, you yourselves have seen all the calamity that I have brought on Jerusalem and all the cities of Judah, and behold, this day they are in ruins, and no one lives in them, because of their wickedness which they committed so as to provoke me to anger by continuing to burn sacrifices and to serve other gods whom they had not known, neither they, you, nor your fathers. Yet I sent you all my servants, the prophets, again and again, saying, oh, do not do this abominable thing which I hate. But they did not listen or incline their ears to turn from their wickedness so as not to burn sacrifices to other gods. Therefore my wrath and my anger were poured out and burned in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, so they have become a ruin and a desolation as it is this day. Now then, thus says the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, Why are you doing great harm to yourselves, so as to cut off from you man and woman, child and infant from among Judah, leaving yourselves without remnant, provoking me to anger with the works of your hands, burning sacrifices to other gods in the land of Egypt, where you are entering to reside, so that you might be cut off and become a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth? Have you forgotten the wickedness of your fathers, the wickedness of the kings of Judah, and the wickedness of their wives, your own wickedness, and the wickedness of your wives, which they committed in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? But they have not become contrite even to this day, nor have they feared nor walked in my law or my statutes, which I have set before you and before your fathers. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I am going to set my face against you for woe, even to cut off all Judah. And I will take away the remnant of Judah who have set their mind on entering the land of Egypt to reside there, and will all meet their end in the land of Egypt. They will fall by the sword and meet their end by famine. Both small and great will die by the sword and famine, and they will become a curse, an object of horror, an imprecation, and a reproach. And I will punish those who live in the land of Egypt, as I have punished Jerusalem with the sword, with famine, and with pestilence. So there will be no refugees or survivors for the remnant of Judah who have entered the land of Egypt to reside there, and then to return to the land of Judah, to which they are longing to return and live. For none will return except a few refugees. Then all the men who were aware that their wives were burning sacrifices to other gods, along with all the women who were standing by, as a large assembly, including all the people who were living in Pathros in the land of Egypt, responded to Jeremiah, saying, as the message that you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we are not going to listen to you, but rather, we will certainly carry out every word that has proceeded from our mouths by burning sacrifices to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out libations to her, just as we ourselves, our forefathers, our kings, and our princes did in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had plenty of food and were well off and saw no misfortune. What an intensely devastating statement of the condition of the men and women who had known the goodness of the Lord and yet deliberately chose to follow the foolishness of their own idolatrous hearts. As for the message that you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we are not going to listen to you, but rather, we will certainly carry out every word that has proceeded from our mouths. They deliberately turned away from the path of their salvation to the ruination of their beings in seeking after that which they valued above the Lord. They did what was right in their own eyes rather than what was right before God. The entirety of this message is to us this day, living in a society which has fully turned away from following the Lord. Our social norm is now the promoting of doing that which is right in the eyes of each individual. We are faced with a vital and absolutely urgent right now, right here. Are we going to follow the Lord Or are we going to join in the folly and the destructive manners of this age? The option is before us as each day dawns. Do we obey the Lord and seek after Him and His way of perfection through the course of our moment-by-moment obedience unto Him? Or do we set our eyes on the tawdry and oh-so-temporary and unfulfilling enticements of this world? We do so at the supreme risk of setting aside the eternal glory that is ours in Jesus Christ. You and I need to ask this before the Lord as we face what we think is right in our eyes. Do we choose to obey Him and abide by His word, doggedly setting our feet on the path of long suffering and intense labor, learning the depths of the grace and the mercy and the love of God through our patient service unto Him? Or do we choose the tantalizing shortcut of doing what is right in our own eyes, which so surely leads only to despair and depression and utter devastation? So be it. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. Amen.